This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown. My man Ben filling in for the great one, Lonzo, today, who is out on a scheduled vacation. Lonzo will return when we return next week. Programming notes, we will be off Thursday and Friday, obviously, for Thanksgiving and for Black Friday. So, no show on Thursday, Friday. We will return next Monday. We will take you from next Monday, which is the 2nd of December. We will have three full weeks of broadcasting then. We will be off on Christmas Eve and Day. We will have a show on December 23rd. We will be off the 24th and 25th, 26th, 27th. We will return on on December 30th for a Monday show. We will be off New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And then January 2nd, it's back to real life, back to the grind. So there's your schedule for the remainder of the year into 2025. Steven pops on the Facebook chat, which you can join, by the way, at facebook.com/thefanupstate, thefanupstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Steven says, is it just me, or is Clemson, Carolina setting up to be a win and you're in the playoffs? No, it's not, Steven. No, it's not. I am sorry to be the ruiner of good news and good vibes for the Gamecocks. Winning this game is not enough to get you in. This is why I've said consistently, South Carolina is the biggest what if in college football this year. Had South Carolina knocked off either LSU or Alabama, this 1,007% would have been a playoff eliminator or qualifier. But for South Carolina, it is a win and get a lot of help and you are in. I think you've got to have a handful of teams, including Alabama, take another loss, right? If one of those three losses was in Alabama, I still think you'd be in trouble because I think that the branding is enough of a powerhouse for Alabama. Even when they're bad, they are still one of the biggest brands in college football. And I think if all things were level and it just came down to those two teams for one spot, Bama would get it. Same reason they got it over Florida State last year. But you lost to Alabama, so that kind of killed that argument. You would need a lot of losses to be handed out. But none of those are going to matter if you can't beat Clemson. Clemson, I do believe it is a win and you are in, especially considering this game is now a top 25 game. I absolutely do believe if Clemson knocks off the Gamecocks of South Carolina coming up this Saturday at noon in Clemson, South Carolina, I do believe that the Tigers will be on their way to an at-large bid. We'll talk more about that as the show progresses, but my dudes, my dudettes, it is time for the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know. Did I tell you there's a bed for this? Okay, don't worry. Don't worry about it. I have screwed the pooch. I have painted my guy Ben into a corner over here by being entirely unprepared for the show. All right? So don't worry about the bed. We're just going to roll through. Just a keyword. I can find it. Nah, we're good. Okay. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this morning. I know what's going to happen. You're going to clock in at 8 a.m. in approximately 55 and a half minutes from right now. You're going to answer those passive aggressive emails from the boss that's like, hey, I know you're only working 3 days this week, but what I need you to do, I need you to slam 15 days of work into those 3 days, please and thank you. And you're going to say, I am unable to acquiesce to your request. And then you're going to stand up. You're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to shake the frustration of a Monday off. You're going to pour yourself a nice, tall, quality glass of H2O out of the cooler. And you're going to talk sports probably today with Sharon from Accounts Receivable. She's good people, Sharon. Big Gamecock fan, right? Big Gamecock fan. You're gonna want to talk. Can we get in? Do you think there's a chance? Is there any way that the sneakiest team in college football might backdoor their way? There's not. But you can talk about it anyway because that's what we do. It's what we love, sports. Let's dive right in. Let's start with item number one. I don't know that NFL scores outside of the Carolina Panthers are necessarily a news item that should get their own item on the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet. So instead, I'm going to tell you that this story isn't about the Philadelphia Eagles knocking off the LA Rams 37-20 last night. I'm not going to tell you that this is about the Eagles getting a dub on the road at LA. I'm not going to tell you that this is about Philly now being 9-2. We, and by we, I mean I, were all ready to write off the Eagles. We were all ready to write off Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts in the gang, yet here they are at 9-2. I'm not going to tell you it's about any of those things. What I'm going to tell you about is that this is about Saquon Barkley. What I'm going to tell you about is that Saquon Barkley last night racked up 26 carries, 255 yards, and a pair of tutties on the ground. What I'm going to tell you is that Saquon Barkley might be your MVP right now. There's a lot of football left. I'm not going to say that this is a lock. What I am going to say is it has been a hot minute since the MVP trophy went to a non-quarterback. And I think Saquon Barkley might be the guy that ends that streak. 255 yards, two touchdowns last night. He has rushed for a gazillion yards and all the touchdowns on the season. And he did it again last night. Last night, Saquon Barkley opened the second half with a 70-yard touchdown run, and the Eagles broke it open after that. They put up 24 points in the second half of that contest, and Saquon Barkley was largely responsible for all of them. The dude can ball the hell out. And I think we got to talk about it a little bit more. Let's move on to item number two. Actually, you know what? I'm going to put this under item number one. We can add the Carolina Panthers to Water Cooler Cheat Sheet item number one. 30-27, the reigning defending undisputed Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs came to visit the bank, and the Panthers gave them everything that they wanted and a little bit more. The Carolina Panthers put up 11 points in the fourth quarter to tie the Chiefs at 27 a pop. But then Patrick Mahomes did Patrick Mahomes thing. He had 60 yards of rushing in this contest, including about 40 of them on a run that set up a KC walk-off field goal. When it was all said and done, Kansas City in that fourth quarter, Spencer Schrader hit a 31-yard field goal with a 1:46 left to play after a 7-play, 57-yard drive for the Chiefs to get the go-ahead 3 points. Bryce Young and the Panthers unable to match those three down the stretch. Bryce Young, however, did have a 21 of 35, 263-yard, one touchdown, no interception day. This game was very simple because of the fact that the Chiefs jumped out early. It was 10-3 at the end of the first. It was 20-9 at the end of the first half. And then Carolina barnstormed back. They got themselves in this game. They covered up the spread. They gave themselves a chance. The problem is because they spent so much time chasing the scoreboard, because they spent so much time playing from behind, they were able to run the ball a total of 21 carries, pardon me. They were able to run the ball 21 times and amass just 85 yards of rushing attack when it was all said and done. You got taken out of your zone. You got forced away from the game that you want to play. And why not? It's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Of course you did, right? But you fought. You threw punches. You threw haymakers. You kept climbing back in. And when you know it, the Panthers gave themselves a chance yesterday. Good performance. Solid performance from Bryce Young. Couple of big drops. J.C. Horn down, had one down the sideline that resulted in a Carolina punt that if he brings that thing in, you're set up inside the red zone. And he just dropped it. Bryce Young dropped a dart, dropped a dot right in his arms, and Xavier Leggett, you know, my absolute guy.
That'll be great, man.
Just dropped the ball. There's room for improvement on a 27-30 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's move on to item number two, South Carolina women's basketball. The win streak is over. 43 consecutive wins for the number one ranked South Carolina Gamecocks. It is their first loss since the 2023 Final Four. That was a program record 43-game win streak. It came to its conclusion on the wrong end of a 77-62 defeat to number 5 UCLA in front of nearly 14,000 fans. It was the largest loss by an AP number one team since January of 2020. It was the Gamecocks' largest defeat since the 2019 Sweet 16, and it was their first road loss since December of 2021. Don Staley said, quote, "It doesn't feel good when you're on the receiving end of it, but you also know you got beat by a great team executing on both sides. That was beautiful basketball by UCLA. Beautiful on both sides. I thought our kids fought, but we ran into a buzzsaw today." Of course, the Gamecocks coming off of an undefeated season last year after winning the program's third national championship in 7 years. They have been tested this season by unranked Michigan in the opener. They won by 6, and then later by number 9 NC State. They ended up winning that game by 14. But Sunday, UCLA dominated on both ends of the floor, held the Gamecocks to just 62 points on 36.4% shooting. The Bruins turned a 9-point second quarter lead into a 21-point halftime advantage. The Gamecocks scored only 22 points on 26% shooting at the break. It was the Gamecocks' first double-digit halftime deficit since December of 2021 and their first 20-point deficit dating back to March of 2019. So it will be time to rebound for the Gamecocks women's basketball team, and they get zero break as they get set on the 28th of November for their next ranked contest when they welcome the Iowa State Cyclones to the house at 1:30 in the afternoon. That game coming up on Thursday. We will have coverage and results of that contest for you here on the Fan Upstate. And finally, let's get to item number three. It is your AP college football rankings. The AP Top 25 is out, and shocking to exactly no one, the Oregon Ducks remain the consensus number one team. They are 11-0. They are the final unbeaten team standing, and they have earned that number one spot. All 61 first place votes go to the Ducks. However, The Buckeyes of Ohio State have closed rank just a little bit. They now trail the Oregon Ducks by just 80 total points of difference from that number two position. The Buckeyes with their big win over previously undefeated and now once defeated Indiana hop up into the number two spot. They are about 70 points ahead of number three, Texas. Texas leads Penn State, and Notre Dame rounds out your top five. Georgia, with their win this weekend, jumps up to number six with a 9-2 record, one spot ahead of 9-2, Tennessee at number seven. A pair of ACC squads check in at number eight and number nine. Those are the two teams likely to be competing for the ACC championship game this weekend. Miami and SMU, 8-9 respectively, and Indiana with their only loss coming this weekend at the hands of the Ohio State Buckeyes, fall down five spots to number 10. Number 11 is Boise State. Clemson checks in five spots up at number 12, one spot ahead of number 13, Alabama. The Sun Devils of Arizona State with a 9-2 record under Kenny Dillingham are at number 14. The Ole Miss Running Rebels at number 15, one spot ahead of the Gamecocks of South Carolina, who check in at 16. Those said Cyclones of Iowa State are at number 17, a spot ahead of number 18, Tulane. BYU was 19. And the Colt of Texas A&M take loss number three to the Auburn Tigers in quadruple overtime. They fall five spots down to number 20. 21 through 25 include UNLV at 9-2, 8-3 Illinois. Colorado, after taking the L to Kansas at Arrowhead, drops seven spots down to number 23. Mizzou is 24. And Army, despite getting beat down by Notre Dame this weekend, maintains a top 25 ranking at number 25. Just outside of the top 25, Kansas State, Memphis, Syracuse, Louisville, Washington State, Duke, Louisiana, Florida, LSU, and Georgia Tech. Washington State is the one team that dropped out of the top 25 after the weekend. So there's your water cooler cheat sheet. Those are the stories that you will be talking about at work today. Let us run to a break. When we come back, let's take a look at the scoreboard from the college football weekend. We'll get into some of the bigger results from week number 13 in the landscape of college football and how they have impacted the playoff race. We'll do that when we come back. My man Ben in for the great one, Lonzo. I am Rob Brown. You, my dear friends, are listening to the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And text us. The text line is open at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. Texter said, Rob, I'm an Uber driver in Clemson, and the overall sentiment is 90% think they are cooked when South Carolina comes to town Saturday. Offensive line is beat up. Cade struggles versus elite defenses, and the defense has not been elite this year. We'll talk a little bit more about that game as the show rolls on this morning. We do have John Blau of the Post and Courier coming up this morning at 8:40 a.m. We've got the lovely Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. She will be joining us coming up tomorrow at 8 a.m. And we will have Chris Miller, the host of the Gamecock pre- and post-game show, coming up on Wednesday's show. I am also reaching out to see if we can get Don Munson, the voice of the Clemson Tigers, on the show, hopefully tomorrow or Wednesday, as we get set up for Rivalry Week. I will let you know if and when we can get Don scheduled on the show. I am efforting as we speak. But let's take a look at everything else going on in college football. We'll talk Clemson and Carolina coming up in the next segment of the show. Number two, Ohio State knocks off Indiana. 38-15 is your final in that one. We went into this game, and I said there were two things that made me lean Ohio State with the cover. This is not me saying that Indiana is not worthy of a playoff bid. This is not me saying that Indiana should have been knocked out by this. They should not. It's just the reason I thought Ohio State covers this game. Number one, Indiana, they are the illustration, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, they are the illustration of a team that ain't played nobody, Paul. Ain't played nobody. And while I don't utilize that as a reason to leave somebody out of the playoff race, just so we're clear, when that discussion comes up on the show next week and I start advocating for teams that aren't big-time brands and you guys go, but they ain't played nobody, Rob. That's not a reason I'm leaving them out. Teams can only play the teams that are on their schedule. My question is, if you ain't played nobody, do you go win every game by 30? And the answer for Indiana is largely yes. But I think ain't played nobody is absolutely a reason to doubt a team in one game. It is also a reason to doubt somebody when they get into the college football playoffs. If they ain't played nobody and you get into the playoffs, you playing somebody, multiple somebodies in this case. And so because of that, I am at this point looking at this and saying, might keep an eye out on this Indiana squad. Might keep an eye out on this IU squad. We'll see how it plays out. But the other thing that I looked at in this game was Will Howard. Can Will Howard go be a good quarterback who doesn't make mistakes? Can Will Howard go be a guy who delivers a good football, an efficient football, and keeps the football clean? And if the answer to that game is yes, I said, look, here's the reality. Indiana has one of the better rushing defenses in the Big Ten. Yes, it is a group of stats that were or have been padded by ain't played nobody, Paul. And I think it's fair to criticize that. But I said, if they're going to win this game, they're going to have to win this game by Will Howard being efficient with the football, by Will Howard demanding that Indiana's defensive front seven stay back and honest, and they did. 22 of 26, 201 yards, two touchdowns, did throw one interception in the game, but I'm not particularly concerned about it. Will Howard had a good enough day. You got 68 yards out of Travion Henderson. You got 36 out of Quinshon Judkins. Indiana did exactly what I said they needed to in this contest, which was keep the run game of the Ohio State University from ever really gaining the traction that they wanted to gain. And they did. I mean, 115 yards is not a slouch of a day against that Indiana defense. But that is an Ohio State team that wants to go rush for a buck 80, a buck 90, 200 yards, and they didn't do it. This Indiana team is not dead. And more importantly, I think this Indiana team is now more dangerous than they were before because now they've gotten punched in the mouth. Now they've taken an L. Now they've learned those lessons we have talked about. I would keep an eye on them. 31-14, the Texas Longhorns knock off the Kentucky Wildcats. Quinn Ewers looked okay, 20 of 31, a buck 91, two touchdowns against the Wildcats, but I'm more concerned about Quinn Ewers' ankle. He looked a little, shall we say, ginger in this game. He looked a little hesitant in this game, And that concerns me a little bit because Texas has now got to go on the road. They have got to go out to Texas A&M. By the way, Gamecock fans, I absolutely think that you are rooting for just chaos in this game. But I do think you are rooting for the Aggies to get dropped in their own crib. Yeah, it'll hurt your SOS, but you're a team that is working right now with a top five strength of schedule in all of college football are the Gamecocks of South Carolina. I don't think A&M dropping another game is going to hurt you all that bad, especially considering you didn't just beat A&M, you handled A&M. I think you're rooting for Texas. Texas locked into the SEC Conference Championship. You want them to win out because their spot is already for sure. You want Texas to make everybody else look bad. I don't think it's going to have all that much of an impact, but you'll take whatever you can get. Anyway, the Longhorns got what they needed out of Quinn Ewers. 191 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. They ran the ball. Quintrevion Wisner, 158 yards and a touch on 26 carries. If Texas can run the ball like this, this is a team I have doubted all year. This is a Texas team that I have pointed out over and over. Of all of the contenders, Texas and Indiana had two of the easiest schedules. Sincerely, Texas had, before this, even including this win, who's the best win the Texas Longhorns have? Michigan. Michigan coming into this game, actually to this day, the 31-12 win over Michigan, who, by the way, is now a 6-5 football team, was the best win this team had. I mean, Oklahoma beating Bama makes Oklahoma look better. But I'm not going to pretend like Oklahoma's not also a 6-5 program. You blew Oklahoma's doors off, did the Longhorns of Texas. But the best win Texas had was Michigan. I mean, I guess maybe now it's Oklahoma. They got smoked by Georgia, a game they were never really in. They had to fight for their lives on the road against Vanderbilt. Texas needed a style points performance, not to get in. They're already in, for sure. They're already going. Texas needed style points just to convince me that they were actually a contender. 31-14 over Kentucky. They are on the road at the Aggies coming up next weekend. I don't know how I feel about that. Penn State escapes Minnesota. I'll tell you right now, I don't think Penn State is it, which is shocking to exactly and precisely none of you. Drew Aller, 21 of 28, 244 yards and a touchdown. Penn State rushed for 117 yards. They gave up 107 to the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Penn State needed some miracles down the stretch. Some miracles down the stretch to stay alive. Minnesota kicked a field goal with 5:48 left to play to get within one, and then Penn State was able to hold on. It's a fine football team. They're not the fourth best team in the country to me. They're just not there. Notre Dame runs up the score 49-14 over Army. I got asked on Bet for the Cycle on Saturday. We had a couple of folks on that were asking questions of myself and Cody Decker. And I think it was PJ Glasser, host on the BetQL Network. We were talking about this game. We also had on Saturday, which was very cool, Alejandro Villanueva, former Pittsburgh Steeler, former Baltimore Raven. He played his college football with the Golden Knight West Point Army Cadets. Very cool to talk to Alejandro. But, you know, I said I think there's something interesting about these military academies. In the age of the transfer portal, in the age of NIL, I think there are large swaths of every roster comprised of kids who were there because of NIL, comprised of, you know, this was a good place to play and come make some money. I think something that is very interesting for Army, Navy, and Air Force is that they are the only three teams, maybe in America, at least at the Division I level, the only three teams maybe in America that you can rest assured that 100% of the players in the program are there because they want to be there. Are there not to make money, not to benefit from NIL, not because they transferred in. If those cats are playing for those teams, it's because those cats want to play for those teams. I think Army, Navy, and Air Force have an opportunity that not a lot of other schools at the Division I level have. That being said, Notre Dame did what Notre Dame needed to do. Riley Leonard, 10 of 13, 148, 2 touchdowns. They didn't need him to throw the ball. They just wanted to grind this game out, and they did. Jeremiah Love, 7 carries, 130 yards, including a 68-yard touchdown. Now, Army has still got something to play for here. Bryson Daly, 39 carries, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns. They ran the ball for 207 yards against Notre Dame. Problem is, Notre Dame removed, even from a team in Army that has been throwing the ball well, or at least relatively speaking for Army standards, they took the pass game away entirely. Said, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us on the ground. And, oh, by the way, we can run the ball too. So Army is out of the national championship conversation. Alabama falls on the road at that same Oklahoma Boomer Sooner team. The Sooners run it up 24-3. Jackson Arnold just 9 of 11 for 68 yards. Oklahoma ran. This was a team that was in the bottom half of the Southeastern Conference in terms of rushing the football. Not on Saturday. 260 yards on the ground for the Boomer Sooners. I'll say it again. 260 yards on the ground. Alabama, you are going to... I'm going to go ahead and let you know today. If you are not an Alabama fan, this day is going to be very obnoxious for you because I'm going to go ahead and call the shot now. Later on today, when ESPN puts their roster of Alabama apologists on the air, later on today, when the four-letter trots out Feinbaum and Dinich, and again, I love Heather. I just want to make it very clear. I'm a big Heather Dinich fan. But later on, when they trot out Paul and Heather and the rest of the gang, you're going to hear a whole lot of reasons why Alabama still deserves to go. I don't think there's any need to have a three-loss team in, with all due respect to the Gamecocks of South Carolina. I don't think a three-loss team should go. But they're going to make the excuses. Oklahoma ran all over them. What more do I need? That's not a championship team, which is too bad. Alabama was my pick to win the Natty this year. I thought it was going to just be a reload and go full throttle again type of year for Alabama. It's not. 42-14, Miami knocks off Wake Forest. Cam Ward does Cam Ward things again. To shot nobody. 27 of 38, 280 yards through the air. Threw for 2 touchdowns and a pick. Jordan Lyle ran for a buck 15. Miami rushed for 228 yards. I'm going to tell you this. If Miami can run the ball, now they're dangerous again. I'm not on board with Miami. I think Mario Cristobal has been the beneficiary of having some incredible players come through. Mario Cristobal reminds me of Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher won. Jimbo Fisher stacked up dubs, but he didn't do anything. He turned loose names like Winston and Benjamin and said, can y'all go carry me? And they did. And I think Jimbo Fisher was a very rich beneficiary of that. I think the same thing about Mario Cristobal. I think if I gave Cam Ward to a lot of college football coaches, they'd have just the same amount of success. We'll find out. They get SMU. By the way, SMU being considered a lot of people's dark horse, not just to win the ACC this year, because they're not a dark horse to do that anymore. They're a legitimate threat. A lot of people considering the SMU Mustangs an actual dark horse to win the Natty this year. Their odds have been shrinking week by week very quietly. We'll talk about that later on, but Miami gets the big win over Wake Forest, setting up an ACC title game between the Stangs and the Canes. Florida knocks Ole Miss off 24-17. Y'all, I told you coming into this, Jackson Dart is not my favorite college football quarterback. In fact, I think Jackson Dart is a little bit overhyped. On the flip side, do you remember what I said about the Florida Gators all week? I said you might want to keep an eye out on this team with DJ Lagway. My man looks like baby Patrick Mahomes out there, throwing sidearm, underhand, all around, spin-a-roonies. This guy's quiet, but he's good. 10 of 17, 180 yards for DJ Lagway. Here's the thing. You don't need Lagway to do anything ridiculous. You don't need Lagway to go bananas. You just need him to be good enough to manage the offense. You just need him to not make mistakes and to let the guys cook around him. And that's exactly what DJ Lagway has done. Ole Miss is cooked. They're not going. They're not. It's not just 8-3. But with losses to Kentucky and Florida, with all due respect, the Gators team I just pumped up, with losses to Kentucky and Florida, not only are they three losses, yeah, I know they cooked South Carolina 27-3. But South Carolina's three losses are excellent three losses. Ole Miss's are not. I don't think Ole Miss can find their way back from a three-loss season. 59-21, Georgia cooks Massachusetts. Not a lot to say about that other than, remember how we were all kind of roasting Carson Beck? Carson Beck might be back. Carson Beck may have found a little something-something. 20 of 31, 297 yards and four tutties in this game. Nate Frazier also stepped up, the backup running back for the Georgia Bulldogs. 21 carries, a 136, and three on the ground. Shocked they gave up 21 to Massachusetts. I do have question marks about the Georgia defense. This was a defense that was supposed to be elite, supposed to be the team that made the Georgia Bulldogs the most balanced, complete team in America. Massachusetts came up with some big touchdowns, some big plays up and down the field. We'll see. 56-0, Tennessee knocks off UTEP. Nico Aimeolava, 17-23, 209 and four touchdowns, exactly what we expected. Boise struggled against Wyoming. 17-13, they escape the Wyoming Cowboys. And here's the thing, in some years you'd go, hey, Rob, come on now. That's a pretty good little team in Wyoming. Yeah, that team's 2-9 this year, 2-5 in the Mountain West. That ain't the same Yo Daddy's Cowboys no more. That's a tough showing for Boise State. Austin Janty had another day, 19 carries, a 169, only one touchdown, though. And that's going to be a problem for them. SMU waxes Virginia 33-7. They're on their way to an ACC title appearance. Kevin Jennings, 323 yards, two touchdowns on the day. SMU's going to have to find a better run game. They are going to have to be able to run the football a little bit more consistently when they get up against the big dogs, Miami in the ACC title game, potentially in the college football playoffs. They're going to have to be able to take the heat off of Kevin Jennings, who replaced Preston Stone because he's a dog at QB. But they're good for now. They're good for now. BYU falls 23-28. Kenny Dillingham's Sun Devils at Arizona State. Pretty good team. Pretty good team. Not getting enough credit. Retzel had 297 yards and one touchdown in that one. Texas A&M falls to Auburn. Quadruple overtime, baby. 43-41, your final. A&M, I think, is out of the playoffs now. Not just their third loss, but again, their third loss is a late loss, and it's a bad loss to the Auburn Tigers. 37-21, Kansas knocks off Colorado. That was another sleeper pick for me this weekend. I had Kansas plus the points to cover. Should have gone money line outright dub over Dion's Colorado Buffaloes. I'm so confused about this team, because I spent the last 3 weeks saying, uh-oh, maybe we owe Dion some flowers. Maybe we owe Dion an apology. But as Dion said, y'all got intoxicated by success. I think that is exactly what happened. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the 51-14 win by Clemson over the Citadel, the 56-12 win by South Carolina over Wofford, and we'll start to set up the Palmetto Bowl. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Before we get back to that hot football action, I want to tell you guys about the Upstate Holiday Light Show. It opens on Thanksgiving night. Experience the joy of 32 million dancing lights. Open Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. You can experience the holiday joy 7 days a week, rain or shine. Park your vehicle and enjoy the dancing light show, or drive the track and immerse yourself in the lights. It is Greenville's best Christmas lights. And this year, an all-new indoor Christmas village. The giant buildings will allow parents and kids to enjoy carnival rides, an expanded petting zoo, and a Christmas village protected from the weather. Oh, and that petting zoo and pony corral, more animals than ever before, from farm animals like goats and donkeys. Santa's free petting zoo is something for everyone, and if you're feeling adventurous, you can take a ride in the pony corral for extra fun. They have a 600-foot-long light tunnel, an enclosed Santa area. The Upstate Holiday Light Show is a Christmas family tradition centered around their giant Christmas tree and all new lights. You can get your tickets today at upstatelights.com. Upstatelights.com. It is the Upstate's favorite holiday tradition. It is the Upstate Holiday Light Show. All right, let's take a look at the two games that you guys care about the most, that of course being Clemson's win over the Citadel. Wofford falls to South Carolina 51-14. The former game, 56-12, is the latter. 198 yards, three touchdowns out of Cade Klubnik. He did make way. Why only 16 passes? Because he gave a little XP to Chris Vezina, 6 of 14, 62 yards for that young man. Clemson ran for 302 yards on the Citadel. Look, on the one hand, respect to the Citadel. It's the Citadel. On one hand, respect to the Citadel. You ought to be able to run the ball on the Citadel. On the other hand, I don't care if it's against an FCS school. I don't care if it's against a high school. Putting 300 rushing yards up on the board. Jay Haynes, by the way, 5 carries, 118 in this one. Phil Moffitt carried the ball only 3 times as they try to get him right. 14 yards for him. Jay Haynes had the day, 118 yards on 5 carries, including a 70-yard scamper. You had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different Tigers get at least one carry in this one. And it doesn't shock me. These games, South Carolina, Wofford, Clemson, and the Citadel, these are tune-up games, right? These are games for you to go out, run the stuff you plan on bringing into rivalry weekend. These are games that you go out and you execute your game plan for next week. You execute your game plan for your conference championship game. If you happen to make one, Clemson, you execute your plan for the playoffs. If you find a way to sneak yourselves in there, whether you are Clemson or South Carolina. All this tells me is that the Gamecocks better be able and better be prepared to fight the run game against Clemson coming up on Saturday. You better be able to win the line of scrimmage. This tells me that Clemson feels, despite the injuries, and we will talk to John Blau with the Post and Courier coming up in a little less than an hour from right now and see if he feels the same way. What this tells me is that Clemson likely believes that they can beat South Carolina at the line of scrimmage. They believe that they can beat your defensive line. They believe that they want to, and I assume this is part of it, keep the defensive ends for South Carolina, two of the best in the country, keep them out of the fold. How do you keep them out of the fold? You keep the run game in the middle of the football field. You keep the run game between the tackles so that they are not involved there. You try not to get to a spot where you have to rely on the run. On the pass. You try to get to a spot where Cade Klubnik is not getting harassed by the two fellas on the outside of that defensive line. The Clemson Tigers will probably have a season-high rushing attempts coming up this weekend against South Carolina. Look, you play your strength to their weakness. That is football 101. There are two football rules when it comes to orchestrating an offense. And I don't care what level you are at. I don't care if you are coaching peewee. I don't care if you are coaching middle school. I don't care if you are coaching high school, college, or professional football. There are two rules that you follow when you run an offense. Rule number one, play your strength to their weakness. Rule number two, put the ball where they got less dudes than you got dudes. Those are the rules, right? When you see people talking about scheming up an offense, when you see people talking about diagramming an offense, orchestrating an offense, please know what is really being said here is, how do we create situations where we got more dudes in one area of the field than they got dudes in one area of the field? That is ultimately what the goal of an offensive coordinator is. I want to run plays that create numbers mismatches. There are spots where you don't have to because you are going to try to keep them honest. There are spots that you don't have to because you are going to try to keep them honest by taking advantage of a spot where you think your dude just beats their dude, right? When you got a guy out there like a Justin Jefferson, when you got a dude out there like a Cole Kmet, when you got a dude out there like a Phil Maffa, when you got a dude out there like a Jake Brittingstool, those are the types of cats that you can go, all right, every now and then, we're not going to send more dudes. We're going to send the same amount of dudes because we think our dudes can beat their dudes. And if our dudes can beat their dudes, we're going to take advantage of having better dudes. But when you are not trying to get it to one of those elite athletes, when you are not going to take advantage of what you believe is a mismatch, the goal of scheming an offense is to get more dudes where they got less dudes. And once you've got that, you also want to match strengths and weaknesses. The strength of Clemson is Phil Maffa. The strength of Clemson, we'll find out if this continues, is Jay Haynes. The strength of Clemson is not in the pass game. I'm sorry, with all due respect to Bryant Wesco, 75 yards this weekend, Antonio Williams, 72, coming off a big game he had last week as well. The strength of the Clemson offense is not throwing the ball. And even if it was, one of the strengths of the South Carolina defense are the defensive backs. Lulu Kesson's been joining us the last couple of weeks, and she has had nothing to say but good things about the defensive backs for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And it makes sense that she has had nothing but good things to say about the South Carolina defensive backs. But that is a strength. That is a strength. What is the other strength for South Carolina? The edge rush. The edge rush, Kennard and Stewart, that is a strength for the Gamecocks. So if I am Clemson and I am playing strength versus weakness and I am trying to create a world where I've got more dudes in a spot than they got dudes and I'm trying to make sure that I got my best dudes against their weakest dudes, what's that game plan work out to look like? It works out to look like run the rock, run it between the tackles, try to get it right up the gaps, A gap, B gap runs, try to take their defensive ends out of the mix, try to create a world in which their DBs cannot thrive, try to create a world where I'm not leaning on Cade Klubnik, and if I can do that, I feel a little bit better. I think that is why Clemson likely ran the ball 28 times to just a total of 18 passes this weekend, right? And I think you'll likely see that against South Carolina as well. On the other side of the break, we will talk a little bit about the Gamecocks' strategy. What's their strength versus Clemson's weakness? How do they create a spot where they got more dudes versus less dudes? We're going to talk about that. We got John Blau coming up at 8:40. I'll give you my college football power rankings coming up here in a little while. All of that coming up when we kick off hour number 3 of the Rob Brown Show. That's next right here on the Fan Upstate.